Thank you very much, David, and thank you and hello to all of you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I recognise when you see our pictures, there are pre-lockdown haircut pictures, and I'm sure we will all not quite live up to the expectations. I've got about 10 minutes, and what I thought would be really helpful to do is cover off three key items. And one of the things I wanted to reflect on, as David shared with you, I have the accountability for all of our externalised supply chains within AstraZeneca, and have spent a significant proportion of the last 30 years working in supply chain. So it's something I feel passionate about. And I think my reflection, if we look through the Brexit period, is that actually the preparations for Brexit has showed us that supply chain can genuinely be a commercial advantage for a company, but also a country. And viewing supply chains as strategic opportunities, not taps that you turn on and off, are something that we can leverage for healthcare more broadly, but also the economy. Let me start by telling you a little bit about AstraZeneca in the UK, and tell you a bit about what we do, and then I can talk globally in terms of our supply chains, and then reflect on the question about, so what does COVID mean, and what is going to be the new normal for supply chains, and how do we build resilience? So within the UK, in AstraZeneca, we're a life sciences company where you can see the full end-to-end, so from true innovative discovery through to development, manufacturing, and commercial manufacturing, ultimately to then being able to touch the patients. We employ about 8,500 people in the UK, but as with the life sciences, what you see is significant value creation of jobs that come, and there's probably jobs that occur as a result of our presence here in the UK. Our locations predominantly are Cambridge, in the kind of golden triangle for science innovation, and then in the Northwest, where we see strong capability in an ecosystem around development innovation and the ability to really commercialize at scale products. We contribute about 1% of the UK exports, and as with pharma, pharma is about sort of 24% export comes from AstraZeneca, and a real significant investor in R&D here in the UK. If I look at our global supply chains, we have 26 sites present in 16 countries. But then, as David said, we have a very extensive external network that we need to pull on to ensure that we firstly have an agile, secondly, we have a robust, and thirdly, we have a responsive supply chain network. That creates about 25 billion tablets annually and about 1.4 billion finished packs. Ultimately, all of those pass through to patients. And we have a kind of complex external network. And that network ensures that we are present in a number of countries, but not over dependent on either one location or one economy. We're very externalized through our drug substance, so that's our kind of active pharmaceutical ingredient, but we source heavily in Europe, the US, and much less so in China and India. And my reflection over the last few months is that COVID has really illustrated that there is absolutely nothing more important than the ability to supply life-changing medicines to patients. Every single one of us takes a drug in the belief that that drug will do what it says, but importantly, it'll be there when we need it. So ensuring that supply chains can withstand and tolerate interruption at a global scale that we have seen through COVID is absolutely critical. I think the other reflection is that manufacturing of pharmaceutical products has probably, and rightly and properly so, been one of the most resilient supply chains through the recent 4 to 5 months. And whilst there is always a level of stockpiling, so you can build and you can hold some inventory, what we have needed is supply chains that have been able to be fast and responsive as we've seen surge demand to secure patient requirements and needs, but also quite rightly and properly countries that want to stockpile an additional level of inventory to make sure that their patients in whatever territory they are can be met by medicines in an ongoing way. Strangely, the planning that we did for Brexit has helped us, and it's helped us in three fundamental ways. One is that it built additional resilience into the supply chain. And what I mean specifically about doing that is it means that as you plan for Brexit and you have to assume the worst in a no-deal Brexit, you stress test your supply chains and you ensure that they are as tight as the weakest link within them, whether that's your internal assets or your external assets. Secondly, it meant that we reviewed all of our levels of inventory so that we created that little bit of additional buffer. There is always buffer in pharmaceutical supply chains, but the additional buffer to make sure that we could protect patients. Thirdly, and importantly, we'd looked at new routes for dispatching medicines. And those things we came to pull upon, as we saw during the COVID crisis. And as we emerge from that COVID crisis, we need to look at our new normal. I think it would be very fair to say that the pharmaceutical industry has worked extensively with the government here in the UK during the past 4 to 5 months, probably never more so. And I do believe that our collaboration with the government, with the NHS, has really enabled a tapping into an extensive global supply chain to be able to source materials that might have gone on short supply in one location to pull them into another. I do think now, though, as we come out of this immediate preservation of life and crisis period, we need to look at what do we make sure that we do to ensure that we've got a really strong and vibrant life sciences sector in the UK, and one that's underpinned by having strong and firm supply chains. And in my view, that needs to be a good and sensible blend of onshoring, which should be done in cases sensitively, but also recognise that we are a global business and we're in a global industry. And actually, what we want to see is the entire global economy to be able to recover. Therefore, our future strategy and supply chains need to ensure that we don't just flip to a rapid onshoring, but we actually have a sensitive mix where our global supply chains can be resilient against future pandemics or indeed other large-scale business interruptions. And that means that we can't be over-reliant on any one territory. In simple terms, we need to make sure that we've got a complex network which can flex up and down and can respond when events occur in one location and you need to be able to take over in another location. Simply means this is that we need to dual source many of our key products so that you're not reliant on a single point of failure, and that that sourcing strategy carries both additional and proper levels of inventory, it has resilience built into it, but it has the ability to move from one source to another. I do think that there is an opportunity where the UK can really strengthen itself as we move forward. Cutting edge medicines, cutting edge device manufacturing is a great domestic capability, but it's a capability which isn't purely for patients here in the UK. It's a capability that creates extraordinarily valuable export as well. So I would very much like, and as we are doing, to continue to work with all parties to ensure that what we do in industry is we identify where there are gaps, that we work responsibly on those gaps, that we do have some risk sharing in building national capabilities. We have got some fantastic example of really cutting edge capability here in the UK, whether it's the Medicines Manufacturing Innovation Centre in Glasgow or the Vaccines Manufacturing Innovation Centre in Harwell. Those are really good examples of where industry and government can work in partnership to do two things. It can build great innovation and resilience within the UK for the UK, but it can also create real value that we're able to export on behalf of the UK. So with that, David, thank you very much.